We will not be held responsible for any hearing impairments or damage caused to you from excessive exposure to this sound.
The Oral Fix Podcast. I'm Henry Diaz, your host. This is episode number 51. Welcome old listeners and welcome new listeners. You're listening to Active Child. Song title is High Priestess, and this is the Polaris At Noon remix. Oral Fix is a social weekly commentary podcast for the gay community. You can listen to it on iTunes, Stitcher.com/Oral Fix. It can also be listened to on SoundCloud and at the blog www.oralfixpodcast.com, as well as on the Facebook fan page, facebook.com/theoralfixpodcast. This episode of Oral Fix is brought to you by Stitcher.com, which is a podcast player and library, sort of like iTunes, but much larger, much bigger, I believe, with a wide range of topics, genres, for your easy listening on your mobile devices, such as iPads and Android tablets and smartphones. If you use the Stitcher.com/Oral Fix link to listen to Stitcher, make sure you enter the promo code OralFix, no space, to be entered in a monthly drawing for a $100 cash card. And that's only for new listeners. Sorry, old listeners. So how's everyone doing? Hope everyone is doing well. I hope everyone had a safe gay pride. I have to be honest, I was totally unprepared for gay pride this month. With the whole Darun Ravi and marriage equality, elections, all the slandering happening on the news, I really wasn't in the spirit of gay pride. especially after not having the gay community, well, not seeing that the gay community really wasn't standing up or saying anything about Doron Ravi, his sentencing. As maybe some of you may know, he got off with only 20 days in prison because of good behavior. He didn't fulfill his 30 days and in prison, which was really way too lenient as it is. And I really don't know what happened, but I mean, it's obvious, you know, we have no gay rights. That's what happens to people who really bully people to the brink of jumping off of a bridge to end their lives. And on the second note, I was surprised about Gay Pride this month. Well, actually, this past weekend, because it's usually the last weekend of June that Gay Pride, the parade happens, and the celebrations, and then in New York City. And this year, it was second to the last. Maybe I'm wrong about that. I've been celebrating Pride for at least, God, since I was 16 years old. And I'm 39 now, so that's quite an awful long time. Well, you know, I didn't go to Pride this weekend. And I really didn't see anything on the internet. I really didn't bother looking for anything. But I did put up, like, a nice Pride picture on my Facebook banner. And, you know, I think that's, it's you know, at least saying something, right? You know, I'm prideful for being who I am, and I do support my LGBTQ community out there. Yes, I said Q, including the questioning people, because they should be included as well. As many of you know, I constantly talk about and ramble here on this podcast about how we're all sexual beings. And even though it's not an on-off switch for any of us to really declare that we're homosexuals or bisexuals and transgender from one moment to another, it, you know, some people do question and some people do fool around and experiment until they find out exactly what they like. And sometimes it could be a mixture of anything, and sometimes it could just be, they just want to be monogamous with one person. So, you know, it is what it is. And I celebrated my own way this year, and I've been doing some other type of things, like preparing for the Renaissance Festival, which is going very well. And I've been, and to do so, I took out the season 1 and season 2 of The Tudors from my public library, and I am so hooked. Oh my God. The Tudors, I don't have cable, as many of you know, and I've been very privileged and fortunate to have a very good library here in town, who carries a lot of Showtime titles that have aired on Showtime, which is a very expensive cable network. and The Tudors is something that I am just loving. I mean, the guy who plays, which you'll hear me talking about later on in the podcast a little bit more, I mean, not into total depth, so, the guy who plays Henry the, first of all, The Tudors is created by Michael Hurst, who I really don't know who he is. And it's okay, because the person that I really care to know on a one-to-one basis is Jonathan Rhys Meyers, who plays Henry VIII. And the story is about, you know, the whole period between the 1500s is it called the 1600s? Yeah, the 1600 Renaissance period. And how Henry VIII came to power, like his youthhood and until... I really don't know what extent the story goes to, but I think I'm pretty much sure it's until the end of his rule, and all the things that shady things that have happened in England while they were trying to trying to really find their spiritual balance as well as, I guess, their overall commonwealth and their identity. But the cast is a brilliant cast. The acting is phenomenal. So is their, it's not a really thick Elizabethan speech, because I guess they made it tailored to Americans so they can actually understand what's going on. because Elizabethan speech can be very Shakespearean-like, where you can misinterpret things or not know exactly what people are talking about. So I think they watered it down, but it's sexy and it's hot. A lot of lovemaking scenes and gays. Yeah, they even included the gays, especially hardcore in season two. So if you guys haven't watched it yet, Netflix it, or go to, if not Netflix, go to your local library and see if they have it. And True Blood, something also I've been just consuming my time with. I can't believe they made Tara into a vampire. Oh my god, vamping out here. I'm vamping out. And she's like, and the whole story about Pam and how she was created, I'm glad they're showing more insight of that, because I think that's great and that's smart for them to do, because Pam is interesting even though she's a bitch. And I'm seeing a different, softer side for her, and I'm actually caring for her. So if you haven't watched True Blood yet and you don't have HBO yet, you could go to piratebay.org and download it. Shh, don't tell them I told you. So yeah, True Blood. And that's about it. And, you know, I've been in a funk lately. I don't know about you guys, but it seems like all my friends are in a funk. It might have to do with planetary changes, and it might have to do with extreme weather changes here in New York. Who knows? But I'm just not, I haven't been very much energetic. And what I am energetic about today is the fact that I have a friend of mine for Chit for Chat, and I would like to introduce you to. His name is Mystic Ed, and he's a well-renowned psychic and tarot reader, guide to the stars, so to speak, from England. And without further ado, I'm going to let you hear the rest of the podcast, which is a brilliant, I believe, podcast, as we show that we put together for you. And I and Ed just talked everything from gay culture to what's going on in the LGBTQ community and abroad, and even paganism and Wicca and Tudors and God have it. We talked about it all except for chocolates. Oh, wait, we did talk about chocolates. Oh, I'm just letting the cat out of the bag again. All right. Without further ado, Mystic Ed.
Hello?
Chit for Chat.
Who is this?
Chit for Chat.
Do I know you?
Chit for Chat.
Seriously, if you don't tell me who this is, I'm going to call the police. Better yet, I'm going to hang up on you.
Chit for Chat.
Welcome, everyone, to Chit for Chat with the famous, renowned psychic of England, Mystic Ed, a personal friend of mine that I've met on Flickr. And since then, we've become a very, very good friends. And we can't wait to see each other when the time is right in person. And without further ado, I'm going to give over the show to you, my friend.
Well, hello, Henry, and hello, America. Hello, Brooklyn. Hello, New York. Hello, everybody. It's good to be here. And thank you so much, Henry, for inviting me.
You're quite welcome. And thank you for being on the show and putting up with all the technical difficulties that we encountered.
Psychic energy between friends, Henry, that's what it is. I'm a firm believer in it. You know, when we go to the supermarkets here in England, we're standing by the cashiers and the tills are always going wrong, you know.
Oh, really?
Oops, I've done it again, haven't I? I'm quite good at it. So how are things in America these days?
Well, things are pretty, I think, you know, they're very, it's a stark contrast between people who are not doing well and people who are doing well. And I know as a technology connoisseur and news follower for technology, I see that a lot of people are buying a lot of technology, useful gadgets, and there's a lot of money being put into like smartphones and other things, automobile, hybrid cars. And then on the other end of regular news that I follow, I see that people are you know, just glued to the news for, you know, updates on if the economy is going to get better, and then, you know, reports on how low the job market is going, and this is fluctuating of good and bad, and then news about international, you know, other, you know, international countries who are going through some type of economic crisis, and it's kind of like gloomy. I think it just affects people, and then, you know, then they, and I think at the butt of it all, us gay people are, you know, because the elections happening here in the States, which are going to be in November, this whole, you know, it's, I don't know why, but, you know, the gay marriage is, it's just, it's been a really stinker of a, well, I guess a downer in some aspects, because either young kids are dying because of bullying, queer kids actually, or queer folk are being doused with fires, copycat fires all across America, and being belittled because, you know, it's on the news constantly, and people like Republicans are trying to give us a bad name.
I mean, after all, we're living in the year 2012, aren't we?
Yes.
I mean, it shouldn't be the case.
No.
And I mean, being gay, homosexual, however you want to call yourself, or as my partner and myself call ourselves, we are just being us at the end of the day. Accept us for who and what we are, because we're not going to change. We've been like this all our lives. But again, very similar to how you are in America, people will either accept you or reject you. And it's like just certain areas, because I believe that there's certain areas of America where you are greatly accepted, where you have the biggest parties and pride marches. And then in other parts of America, it's deeply frowned upon, isn't it?
It is. It very much is. Even in good old New York, it is Gay Pride Month here. And I walk on eggshells. I live in the woodlands of New York, upstate, which is about an hour and a half away from the city. And I have to tell you, I didn't feel comfortable going to Gay Pride yesterday, just because last year I warned everyone, even on the podcast, even though it's Gay Pride, last year gay marriage was passed in New York, and even though gay marriage was passed here in New York State, and people were still arguing about it all across America, there were still people dying in Uganda, and it's illegal in Uganda to be a homosexual, and that was a big news back then. And even though people were prideful about themselves being gay in the gay capital of the world, probably New York, there was still, you know, the day after I read news on queer bashing happening at Gay Pride.
Yes.
So it's prejudice still exists, and, you know, and jealousy also. I think it's a lot of it's jealousy, as a lot of studies are being publicized here in the United States. A lot of bullies or people who bash are in the closet themselves.
I actually feel that a lot of people that hate people like ourselves, they do have a problem. They do have a problem inwardly, because we're living in an age where there are different types of people all across the world, of different sexes, of denominations. And what's the problem? There shouldn't be a problem. But if they've got a problem with us, then they really do have a problem in themselves. I mean, do they not love themselves? Do they see us and have a certain side to their own personalities that they feel ashamed of?
Mm-hmm.
And it makes you wonder, doesn't it really? But I just think that it's like that story, the family that prays together stays together. Mm. I just feel with us gay people, we must stand up for one another. We must go out into the world and not necessarily shout it from the rooftops, I am proud to be gay, but being very proud of who we are, which makes us unique individual people. Well, of course, in your case and my case, Henry, we're psychics and gay. Well, that's a double whammy, isn't it? But it's true, you get the lot here with us. And but if you were to come to England, Henry, and the area where we live, you would be completely and totally accepted.
Really? What area do you live in England?
It's in the Midlands, and it is right in the middle of England. It's not far from Shakespeare's birthplace, Stratford-upon-Avon. It's right in the heart of England. But, you know, I had it very difficult when I was younger. I tried to explain to my mother I wasn't the marrying kind. Well, that ended up in tears. You know, whatever did she do wrong? My father held his head in his hands and said, your mother will never walk down this street again. And it was only on the day that he died did he actually take me by the hand. And then in recent years, when I told my godmother, my aunt, who won't ever see me again, and I wrote her a letter because I thought there's no way I'm going to be able to tell her that the man that I'm living with and I are going to get married, there'll only be a row. So I wrote it down in letter and even invited her to it. And we ended up with a phone call saying, your lifestyle is disgusting and you'll admit now over the phone. Now, I was in floods of tears after that, as you can imagine.
I mean, yeah.
I was 85, and that's the end of my relationship with my aunt. But again, from the older generation, there seems to be mixed views. In her case, if you are gay, you're one of those queer men that do things, right?
Mm.
Our elderly lady next door that's 87, when we told her, she threw our arms around us and shouted, oh, this is wonderful, you're getting married. What a difference. So that made up for the aunt, you say.
Night and day.
Yes, it is indeed. But so after not being accepted and allowing my parents to think I was just going through a phase because it helped, then as you grow older, you invent girlfriends. And suddenly you realize you're living a lie. Well, we don't live a lie, my partner and I. We go out into the world, we cook, we clean, we go shopping, we mow the grass. And everybody knows we don't hide the facts from anybody. And why should we? I can't go out on my own. I went out on my own shopping the other day. And wherever I went, all I was questioned with was, where is he?
Aww.
So you see, people are so used to seeing us now together. I've said to him, I said, well, you can't die, you know. Besides the fact I can't change a light bulb, but he can't leave me because I wouldn't know where to go for my shopping.
Oh.
Well, I probably wouldn't want to do any shopping. I'd probably curl up in a ball somewhere. But but no, it's very sad for people that feel they're going to tell their parents, they're going to tell their best friends, and they're still rejected. Yeah, it's very sad to think that people are still rejected now. And I mean, we were chosen for the Idaho Challenge, which is the International Day Against Homophobia, about 3 years ago, because we were not so much an outrageous couple, we were just unique and not afraid to be who we are. And we were chosen by our personalities to represent our country. And very proud of it we are and were. But again, you see, it's like with Wicca. I mean, I know that America and parts of America are like some of the biggest places for Wicca and witchcraft, etc., and the psychic world, where in other areas, like in this country as well, so it's very similar, it's very much frowned upon. But I always feel, don't judge a book by its cover unless you understand what it's all about.
Mm. I agree with that, though I fall privy to doing that myself at times. When it comes to, I guess, dating in the dating world, I tend to judge people by their cover right away. If you have a red flag on you, forget it. But I really don't judge people that way because most people outside of the dating realm, just because I don't want to be judged myself. And I'm very much interested in knowing people for people because I find myself in them or a part of myself. Like with you, I remember when I don't know how we met on Flickr, but I guess I found one of your photos or something and you and your partner Fluffy just enchanted me. I mean, I saw genuine people going about their day, documenting their day and their lives in a very candid and real manner. And that's what attracted me to both of you, besides the fact that both of you are an attractive couple.
But thank you. But, I mean, it's also the same with yourself. I mean, with the account of your life, the different things you've done, the shows you've done, and even this, I mean, it just shows that you are living a life, and even though we're not always happy every single day of the year, because life's not life like that. If it wasn't for life's downs, there wouldn't be a few ups. But you are living your life in the best way that you feel is fit, and you live a very interesting one. So you put yourself on, not on the spot, so to speak, but you put yourself out there for people to look at you and see you and to realize where you're coming from, and they can think, hey, I can do the same.
Sure, yeah. I don't think so much of the way I live to be that, but at least to be out and in public. I mean, I'm a tourist as it is, so I cherish freedom, so being in a stifling closet is not my thing, so to speak. And yeah, just being myself, you know, in the moment of it all, I don't normally really think that I'm going to be a prime example for anyone. But when in the end of it all, when you think back and you reflect on it as someone outside of myself, as you would, you do see that, and it's something that we take for granted also as out gay people, I would say. I know I do. I don't give enough credit to myself for that.
But you will do.
Yeah.
You will do in time. It's just that sometimes it just doesn't feel perhaps right to do these different things. I mean, you, of course, know a lot about our homophobic neighbor. And
the troll.
The troll. He's become world famous as the troll. That actually thanks to you, but everybody knows him throughout the world. And we made major headlines. I don't know whether you know this, in 3 very big newspapers some months ago, because it had even got out about his behavior to the press, because they do follow me.
Wow.
And he had to go to court, and of course it came out about what he'd been saying. He'd said about me, I wear lipstick and dress as a woman. and we do things in bed because we're married.
Oh.
Well, that actually sickened me, and when the police officer told me what he said, I actually joked about the we do things in bed. I said, well, chance would be a fine thing. I mean, what do you think we're doing every night? You know, we go to sleep, actually. And but this about the he wears lipstick and dresses as a woman. No, I don't wear lipstick. I may be rather feminine in what I wear, but I don't dress as a woman. But even if I did, so what? Where's the problem? It's not a problem I've got, but it's obviously a very big problem that he's got.
Well, obviously, first of all, I didn't know that this really got all over out, even into international news about your troll neighbor and his heresies onto you and Fluffy. But the fact that he had admitted that, that he saw you in dresses and lipstick, and he thinks about often what you guys do in bed, is telling me, at least as an indicator, that this is what he's fantasizing.
Oh, yeah.
So when he, when he peers out his window, he sees a woman, a gorgeous goddess with...
Well, yes, I mean, I did think about laying on a few layers of mascara and some Max Factor on my lips one day. I thought, well, I might as well go for bright red and be done with, you know.
Yeah.
But you have to find the funny side. Mm.
You're channeling, you should channel Aphrodite more often.
Yes, I should, shouldn't I? Oh, dear. But, no, I mean, it's obvious that the problem's with him. But you see, again, that's a test. Do you laugh at it and put your shoulders back and your chin up?
Mm.
Or do you cower into a corner and think, no, no, it's not really me. I'm not really like that. Or do you put your chin up and your shoulders back and say, I'm proud of who I am?
Right, right. Yeah.
And you have to do it regardless, because... If you, like I said before, if you don't come out into the world, you are living a lie. And if people, including family, however sad it may be, if they won't accept you, and yet they've always loved you, then sadly they don't love you enough, and you're not they're not worthy of you, I feel.
Right, and that means that they would be ashamed of you. You know, I remember there was a... Well, recently, I haven't told you about this, but I did speak to you over email a couple of days ago about some of the things my family have been trying to drag me into their
yes.
dark energy. And one of the things was a similar issue, they were ashamed of my cousin was ashamed of her father being an alcoholic, and the possibility of him being an alcoholic. And everyone knew that our uncle was a heavy drinker as well as my father. I used to be a heavy drinker. So I said to her, you know, in more ways than one, because she was trying to ensnare me into a very ugly argument. I said to her, you know, if you're denying the truth that your father was a heavy drinker, then you're really denying the truth that my father was a heavy drinker, and you're ashamed of that, and you're ashamed of the fact that I used to be a heavy drinker in that way, and so you're really, you know, overall don't want to be seen with me, and it explains why she doesn't really talk to me as often as she used to. And it was a very, you know, sad experience to go through into an argument like that with her, and she still hasn't acknowledged that. But you know, it's very, you know, prejudices and judgments of any kind are it's very interesting how the human mind and emotions just work with that and just keep that as dark hidden secrets and resentments.
Welcome back. That's The Temper Trap. Need Your Love, the RAC remix. And as most of you who have been listening to the Oral Fix podcast for a while know, you can find the links to the downloads, free downloads, of most of the tracks that are played here on the show notes, www.oralfixpodcast.com. Now, let's go on to the second part of the Chit for Chat with Mystic Ed. Well, first of all, Ed and I spoke a little more about his marriage, and then he put on Fluffy, and Fluffy and I started talking more about the mystical stuff, the pagans, and England's history, and really ancient stuff that I didn't even know about. So you guys are in for a treat. I hope you know that. And I'm hoping to have Mystic Ed and Fluffy return again at some other point in the year. But for now, let's enjoy part two of the Chit for Chat with Mystic Ed and his sidekick, well, partner, Fluffy.
Indeed. I mean, the thing is, not so much whether you're gay or an alcoholic, but there's always an issue that somebody can find out that they don't agree with what you do.
And it usually stems from, yes, and it stems from a problem with themselves.
It does. Indeed. Do they see themselves in us? Or are they... I just feel that, I mean, Fluffy and I, we go out into the world, and when we go out shopping, whenever you do come to England, or if ever we come to see you, which I'm sure we shall, when we go shopping, people expect us to go to them to be served so we can cheer them up. Nobody turns us away. It's always, oh, I'm so glad you two have come to me. Oh, I did need to see you two today. And it takes us nearly all day to just go and buy a loaf. But, by the time we've cheered everybody up, you do come home and think, oh, I do feel depressed. Because you've taken on everybody's problems just doing a little shopping trip. But that just shows that we're obviously sending out light and love to people. To feel like that, and but people will always be judgmental. I mean, think of the times when somebody will say to you, if I were you, I'd do such and such a thing. Now, if it was me, and suddenly they can make you feel like an inch big, but they're not you. You have to do your own thing and live your life. I mean, yes, take advice from people. There's nothing wrong with a bit of criticism here and there. But when people tell you what you should be doing, it's like pot calling kettle black, or, take a splinter out of your own eye when really you've got a plank in your own type of thing.
Mm.
That's out of the Bible somewhere, and I've probably got it completely back to front. But it doesn't really matter. I know what I mean. And but I don't feel that we should. I think it's now we're in the year 2012. We should start to stand up for ourselves a little bit more, even though it very is often hard work. And after our wedding was announced in the newspapers, I mean, they went to town on it, really. I mean, either people did love us or they hated us. And somebody wrote to the editor and wanted to say a huge thank you because we appeared in the newspaper, they were brave enough to tell their parents that they were gay. Oh. And what did the parents do? They accepted him with open arms.
Wow.
And then you think, now isn't that being proud to be gay? To think that you've actually helped somebody to be themselves. And it doesn't cost anything to make somebody feel good about themselves, does it?
Not at all, not a cent.
So really, our work's just beginning. I feel I shall be doing, you know, standing there, standing up for people, well, both my partner and myself now, for the rest of our lives, giving support.
I would love to say that for everyone who's listening, which I will link on the show notes, I witnessed your wedding, beautiful wedding, and your attires, both on you and Fluffy, were just gorgeous, and everyone else. It was a real big deal, and it was very quite simple but beautiful, and you documented it and shared it with everyone public on Flickr, And it's something really beautiful for anyone to witness. And I really wasn't, I don't think, I don't know, it sounds familiar. I think you might have shared that story, but to me it's sounding so new that it really touched someone's life and they came out and they were accepted. And was it more than one person or was just that one person?
Oh, it happened with a few people, but it was just that one in particular. It was the way he'd worded his letter to the editor. And it was so moving to actually read it. But if we could have got married in all over again, we wouldn't have done it quite so lavishly. We'd have probably gone away very quietly somewhere and gone somewhere very romantic and come back and said we'd done it. Because at the end of the day, Henry, it's about a lot of it to do with marriages, whether you're gay or straight. It's all about pleasing other people. What do they want? Who do they want to sit by? What do they want to eat? And of course, a lot of people find it a great excuse to hit the bottle more than they've ever done before.
Well,
and
you know,
it can spoil things.
And it what?
It can spoil things.
In what way can it spoil things? I'm interested in talking more about that.
Well, I was just, there were some people there that they got so drunk that after we left, the police were called.
Oh.
One chap even went through a lady's handbag.
Huh.
Oh, yes. Oh, it all happens where we go, Henry. We never lead a quiet life. It's always got some kind of interesting impact at the end of the day. And because of that reason, we just felt, why didn't we sneak away to Gretna Green or somewhere?
Hmm.
Which, is, of course, is a place where people have always run off to and quietly done it. But it was a lovely day. It was a lovely day, and a lot of people came. They closed their shops and came along early to see us, and it was really nice. And, of course, we ended up with a magical touch and went to Camelot and where King Arthur was born, because we'd got to go somewhere very spiritual. But we had my dream come true was a four-poster bed. I ended up sleeping on the settee all night, though, because guess who snored every night?
Fluffy.
Did every night. Yes, I was up awake at 3 o'clock in the morning, drawing pentagrams and sigils on the steamed-up window for something to do. Would you like to speak to Fluffy?
Let's get to know Fluffy. Yes, let's put him on for a moment.
Okay, here you go. Your turn. Oh, right. Oh, we're live, are we?
Yes, we are. Welcome to the Oral Fix Podcast. How are you?
Oh well, hello, America.
Hello.
I'm okay. Yes, I've been sorting things out. So I've built a new piece of decking where around the back of the bungalow, so where we can go and dine in the sun when we get the sun.
Really? You are always a busy beaver on that property.
Oh, I like to be busy. There was a lady that she lives around in the other street, and she sort of once turned around to Ed. He was quite offended, actually. She turned around and said to him, "Oh, you were lucky dropping in on him, weren't you?" Do you remember Margaret? Yes, because you know, because she's got to be in her late 60s, and she likes to abuse them and use them and then discard them at that age. Honestly, she said, "Oh, I get them in," she says, and she said, "I get them to cut me lawn and do me gardening," she said. But that's what, you know, and you're thinking, dearie me, they're going about gay people.
Oh my!
No, I over the years, I tell you, Henry, I'm not shocked. I'm just surprised. I'm no longer shocked with ordinary people. Well, define ordinary. What is ordinary? There's no such thing as ordinary. Everybody's unique, and they've all got their unique way of doing things, how they feel about things, what they like, what they don't like. And that's different for every single person. And my creed is I accept what another person is, and as long as they don't try and force their beliefs on me, I'm more than happy.
That's
it. Yeah.
Yeah, same here. And I think that's been quite the challenge for England over the centuries also. People trying to invade England and take ownership of England until I think Henry VIII and put his foot down on that. And it's been like this, you know, and I'm just referring to England and the past history of England, because I've been watching The Tudors, the series, which was a...
Oh, right, yes.
I don't know if you watched it, but I'm in the middle of it trying to prepare for my Renaissance fair. But you're saying all of this, and I'm thinking, wow, you know, this has just been like a plight for a lot of Europeans coming from countries that have been colonized or been take over from and being forced to and subjugated to other countries' opinions and way of living, which is not nice.
I've got to say, in defense of the empire, as it was called, before Queen Elizabeth got on the throne and she decided to call it the Commonwealth, the British believed that the law, that all people were equal. And so whilst we did go out and subjugate the world, because we did like a bit of gunboat diplomacy where we turned a warship out, and that used to keep everybody, you know, on their toes, but we also believed that the people had a right of equality. And I mean, for instance, in India, there was a group of, a religious group called Thuggies, and they worshipped the goddess Kali, who was basically, she had lots of arms, I think she had eight, and the Kali, and the devotees of Kali used to go around murdering people and dedicate the murder in her name.
Oh my God.
Yes, and the British destroyed them. They hunted them down and wiped them out. Another thing the British stopped doing was when in India the husband died, the wife was expected to throw herself onto the funeral pyre while she was still alive.
Oh my God.
Oh no, this was actually used to happen. And the British had said, excuse me, you don't do that. But that was, so we have our good points. We do have our good points. We tried to be, I honestly believe that the British, and I say British because there's no such thing as an Englishman. We're British. We're Germans, we're Anglo-Saxons, we're French, we're Normans, we're Welsh, we're Irish, we're Scots, we're all sorts we are. I mean, Ed, for instance, in his lineage, he's got Canadian. He's got the Canadian blood. He's got Welsh blood. He's got Irish blood.
Wow.
You know, in his family history. And so, but the British, I believe, are more tolerant than most people, purely because we're so mixed up. So
really?
It's very difficult just to condemn somebody else when we're not pure blood ourselves, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, our royal family's Greek and German. You know, the Queen's consort was a Greek prince.
Really? I never knew that.
Oh, yeah. Prince Philip is Greek.
Oh.
Yeah? On the Queen's side, the great-great-grandparents were German.
My.
Oh, yeah, see. Well, a hodgepodge. There's an old song before your time, because you're far too young, and it's called The Melting Pot. And basically, it's where everybody gets into the melting pot, and they all come out chocolate-coloured. There's no white, no black, there's no...
I like that. They will
you'll have to Google that now. Melting pot.
I will, and if I could get it for the show, I'll put it on.
It was a big hit going back, oh, I don't know whether it was the 80s or the 70s, but it literally sings about basically all the world getting to there, putting everybody into a melting pot, and they all come out the same colour, but it would turn out to be slightly chocolate coloured. Didn't say whether it was milk chocolate or yard chocolate.
Well, I have to say, I really like my English men. Especially the blondes. I've always been a fan of English people, and I've you know I've often recalled growing up as a teen a lot of past life memories living in England. Mm-hmm. And you know I've actually you know I've had one encounter with this one English fellow from London about 8 years ago, 9 years ago. And we hit it off one night, and it was this last night in New York City, and we stayed with each other for the remainder of the night until he had to leave on his flight. And it was the most endearing, and it was the soul connection, and it was the soul, like, you know, like this past life thing that we had to do, and the energy between it was just so intense. I mean, and if he had the money, if I had the money, we would have both, like, you know, made a marriage out of it. But yeah. I think he had also some things he needed to let go in his life. And he was going through a lot, and we lost touch, and we just let the relationship go because I was in a turning point in my life, and so was he. And it was a very interesting connection because the dreams that, as a result of keeping some type of communication for about a year or so, was very intense.
Now, I've got to tell you now, from the historical point of view, Britain has got more ancient history that goes back before the Egyptians.
Really?
And a lot of historians now, anthropologists who do, you know, the research history and actually do the archaeology and all, are now recognizing that the center of civilization may not have been Egypt or the Mediterranean, but actually in Europe, because of the knowledge that is they have discovered that they, everybody assumes that when you talk about somebody being ancient, that they have no knowledge. I believe that the ancient people had more knowledge than we had because they had to work problems out that nobody had done before. We can go on the internet if we've got a problem. We can Google it. We can do all sorts of things. But in them days, they had to work out how to solve problems which nobody had ever done before, and they had to think. And the Celts, which are the natural race in the Great Britain, but don't forget the Celts also were all across Europe. There were the French, there was the German Celts and all that lot. And there was a great trade. And I'll give you a quick example of how history is being changed, turned on its head. Over in Wales, there is a little holiday resort called Llandudno. And 10 years ago, one of the little cafes on the island turned around and said they wanted to build a car park. Simple, yes, yeah. But the council said they needed to do a ground survey to ensure that the ground was strong enough to take the weight of the cars. And they discovered what they thought was a rubbish tip. When it was excavated, they found that it's the oldest copper mine in existence. It's over 4,000 years old, and it's also the largest ever found.
Wow.
And it's now discovered that this copper mine exported to the rest, to the world, and nobody knew it existed.
Oh, my.
There's a big site there now. When I go up to Wales, I go to visit them, and there's this massive, big archaeological site where they are still uncovering. I've took Ed down there. You've been down there, haven't you, Ed? It goes hundreds of feet underground.
Wow.
Some of the largest caves, man-made caves in Europe are there, and they never knew it existed. And it's suddenly, oh, dear, this is history being turned on its head.
The hairs on my arms and my body are just completely standing straight.
Well, this is the British history. This is our Celtic history. And I link with that. Like you have past life experiences, I feel an affinity to these ancient times. I just feel a natural affinity with that. So, and I believe it's a racial memory. It's in our genes.
We down
memories through our genes, a genetic code.
I agree.
I believe that's what I experience is a genetic code. It's not necessarily a spiritual thing. It is more on a genetic level.
Welcome back. That's Arcadia by Traveler. So we're down to the last part of the interview with Mystic Ed and Fluffy as well. So we pick up with Fluffy and we get a little more into Celtic and pagan Wiccan beliefs, and also then we get into more of spirituality with Ed and just some tarot reading for all you guys, predictions for the week and next month to come. So I hope you're enjoying this, and please, if you're listening to the podcast on either Facebook or Stitcher or iTunes, leave some feedback, or if you're on the blog, www.oralfixpodcast.com, make sure to leave a mention or a comment on the comments area on the blog post, the show notes. The more that you rate this podcast on other social media networks, like SoundCloud also, the more this podcast gets recognized and gets ranked on iTunes and Stitcher.com, and the more that you spread the word around that the podcast exists, the likelihood of the podcast being around for several more years or so and keep me providing you with interesting content and interviews will be very likely. And again, I can't stress that enough for all of you who are listening for the first time and old listeners that haven't got around to leaving some feedback or liking or rating the podcast. Thank you. And here's the last part of the interview at the on here on the Oral Fix podcast with Mystic Ed.
Ed and I are what we're called Wiccans. This is the old religion, not the Christian religion. But as I try and explain to people, the difference between a Wiccan and a Christian, a modern Christian, is a Wiccan doesn't believe in the church, the organization of the church, still believes in God. And I say to people, you only have to go out into a garden, look at the birds, look at the plants, and tell me that was random and that was just created purely by chance. I don't accept that. I see Angelica, who's a cat, beautiful cat. You're telling me that she was just happened because it was just random? She is a perfect in her own right as a cat. She's a perfect cat. You know, cats are perfect in their own right.
I agree. I agree also with all that you're saying. And how about your... If you don't mind me changing the conversation a little bit, I would like to, because I'm going to link the Flickr account for you and Ed on the show notes for this show. And I want people to really see you guys and see your life on Flickr. And I would like to know personally, because I don't think I ever addressed this on Flickr. Why do you wear a stripe in your hair?
that was because Ed's used to be a hairdresser. He managed a hairdressing shop, and so I like that the idea. I'm a bit to be. I'm not flamboyant. I just like to be striking. And so we have a creature in our woodlands called a badger. So I suppose you could call him. It looks not the same creature, but you know the skunk with a big white stripe down the back.
Oh yes, we have many here where I live.
Yeah. Well, in our country, we don't. It's not a skunk. It's a badger. It's a very powerful creature.
Oh yeah, We have badgers here
white
too.
Stripe. That's right. Well, I just linked in with badgers, and so I asked Ted one day to do my hair like a badger, called the big white stripe.
Which you wear so well, Fluffy.
Well, some of my... I've got several tarot sets of tarot cards. One of them is the Celtic Dragon cards, which I like. But another one is actually animals.
Oh, you have the medicine animals card deck?
No, it's the Celtic animals, not the American ones. So we're looking at salmon, which is the creature of wisdom. And the reason the Celts associated the salmon with wisdom was because wherever the salmon is born, whatever river, it goes out into the Atlantic Ocean and it always comes back to the same spot that it was born.
That's interesting. We associated American Indians, salmon, with regeneration and rebirth.
Yeah. Well, it's the same. Yeah, exactly. It's just actually, it's what we call sympathetic magic, isn't it? It's when somebody, you look at something and then you associate a meaning to that.
Wow.
From the Celtic point of view, the salmon is the creature of wisdom. Because it has the knowledge to be able to return back to where it was born. Hence, knowledge, wisdom, boom.
My.
Now, I'm asking questions later. So that's why. I'm not a badger now, but that's why I just liked it. And
you look like I'm sorry to interrupt.
Like,
go ahead.
Say a lot of the teenagers around here were fascinated by my hair because they'd never seen anything like it. But it used to take Ed all day to do it.
I love it. It makes you look like a rock star. And every time there's this one picture of you and Ed, which I love and I adore, and I had it on my desktop as my desktop for like several months. And it's of you and Ed in like this garden, and I believe you're laying across Ed's lap, but you know, with your head up, and Ed is kind of like in the background. Both of you are looking into the camera, and you both look magically enchanted. And you have like these little fairy orbs around you, and there's like this green pasture and a tree, and I fell in love with it. You guys, and your hair was just brilliant. I mean, it was like in that mullet hairdo that you have.
Well, there you go. Well, that's just being me.
Flamboyant.
That's it. We're back to... Somebody once said to me, you want to act your age? And I said, who wants to be a boring old, you know, what? And your age is a mental condition. You're as old as you feel.
Exactly.
I've actually met people 20 years younger than me, and they're old. How they look at things and... how they do things, and you think, oh dear, how sad. There's no need to be old. Jan next door, she's 87, and you couldn't meet a more livelier person. All right, yes, physically, she's not as fit, bless her, but mentally, she's very sharp. Now, I was just going to say, so there is absolutely no need to be old as such. We all grow old. I mean, that's a natural state of affairs. And with oldness, we get more mature, is what I like to think, like a bit like a cheddar cheese.
Cheddar cheese. How old are you, Fluffy, if you don't mind me asking?
I'm 62.
You're 62. God bless you.
I'm 62.
And you don't feel 62, I bet, spirit-wise.
No, no. But I got to say, Henry, it takes me all night to do what I used to do all night.
May I ask a personal question?
Of course you can.
Is there sex after 50?
Of course there is. There is. We have, I believe, Charlie Chaplin actually sighed children even when he was in his 70s.
Wow, really?
Yeah.
Charlie Chaplin, he's...
Yeah.
It's quite a rap.
There you go. You're going to do a lot of Googling after you come off the phone, aren't you?
I am, actually. And I want to get that melting pot song.
Yes. Anyway, I'll hand you back to Ed now.
It was a pleasure, Fluffy. Thank you for coming on to the show.
The pleasure's been mine as well. And I'll hand you back.
Okay. I wait to meet you soon.
Actually, Henry, I had quite a laugh to myself when Fluffy was talking about salmon. Because we were in an aquarium center this afternoon to get some feed for our fish. And on this one tank, it had got the name of the fish, and underneath on a label, it had got Ask for Salmon.
Oh.
And we thought, ask for salmon when you're a fish. That's a bit peculiar, isn't it? Anyway, Fluffy doesn't know this because he wandered off. I found another label on another tank, and it said, Ask for Simon. It wasn't Ask for Salmon at all. It was Ask for Simon. It's a good job, really. I read that. Anyway, I've got an important point to make, Henry.
Go right ahead.
For all of you that are driving along or are washing the dishes or changing the bedclothes and you're listening to this podcast now, and you may be gay or you may know people that are gay, which you probably do, or you feel that you've got a big coming out to do at some stage, remember that we're on a spiritual basis, when we pass over, if you're gay, you're not going to change and suddenly be a straight man or woman. For instance, when I go, let's suppose I went now tonight, you know, across the celestial river, looking like Elizabeth Taylor did in Cleopatra, though I've got to say, in a gold lame dress, you know, the crook and the flail, the whole works. And if I then was given the chance to come back and appear before either yourself or Fluffy, I'm not going to be this big butch fella now, am I? I'm going to be me. So therefore, you will still have a gay spirit guide. So if you know and love someone that's gay now, and something should happen to them, don't think that they've changed and they're going to be straight. They'll still be themselves. And I think that's worth thinking about.
That is, and I'm so glad you tackled that one, because it's something that I often think about, and I'm being a Buddhist practitioner, and at times I know about reincarnation, and I know even from my own ancestral knowledge about reincarnation, I often wonder, you know, and I also think that if I come back as a human being next time, I wouldn't mind coming back as a woman, but all this, you know, the gayness about me, you know, will that be transferred as well? You know, what will happen to that? And I often think of that.
Yes, I mean, it's quite exciting, really, the thought of what you don't know is exciting, I think. Because maybe you were a woman in a former lifetime. And therefore, the certain tendencies that you have that are being brought into your present day.
I agree.
I've got some hypnotherapy to do for a lady tomorrow evening, but it's basically the meditative thing. But I can remember doing some hypnotherapy for a lady many years ago now. She wanted to be regressed, and she got a typically Staffordshire accent, which is quite broad around here. And suddenly she was speaking with this Spanish accent. I couldn't understand a word she was talking about. And she went from one lifetime to another. After I said to her, I said, well, you must speak to me in a tongue that I can understand, namely English. And from this broad accent that she had really got, there she was, this beautiful Spanish lady. I had many lovers, but I only loved the one man and all that type of thing. Then, instead of me bringing her forward to the present day, she decided to go on another journey. And she was a man in Norway.
Ah.
And she even spoke with a deep man's accent. So that, I think it's fascinating, really, to think that the reincarnation thing. I mean, I've always believed in my own case that this is my last lifetime on Earth. And you could say, well, why do you think that is, Ed? But I can't really answer, only the fact that I just do. Because this lifetime has been particularly hard with many of its tests, and they've been quite grueling, some of them. And, of course, the greatest test in our lifetimes is to see how we turn out at the end.
Right.
I mean, are we going to turn... I mean, so many people as well nowadays, they turn to the angels for guidance. But there is a saying which you may have heard. Somebody asked for... A lady asked for an angel to appear, and the devil appeared. And she screamed out, oh, my God, you know, who are you? And he said, well, you paid for an angel, but you didn't say what type. Don't you think that's important, though?
That is very important.
Because people will open themselves up psychically without a clue of what they're doing as well. You've got to think about the consequences.
Mm-hmm.
I say we've covered a few things with this broadcast, haven't we? I hope you've all enjoyed listening in, America.
And isn't it true that also you can do that sexually? Like, if you're sexually promiscuous?
Oh, yes, absolutely. I mean, there's so many beliefs in... I mean, we're not promiscuous people, but I can't say I didn't have my fair share of lovers when I was younger. But I think in my case, I was always on the lookout. I was always on the rocky road to love. You know, I'd meet someone with a handsome smile and they'd flutter their eyelashes and I was besotten. They were the ones, they were the love of my life, and they never turned out to be. And I usually seemed to choose the rotters, the ones that kind of hid their wedding rings in their pockets and that type of thing. And then it came to the day when... I wasn't really bothered. I'd given up on the rocky road to love, Henry, and I sat with my little cat on my lap the night before, and I stroked her, and I said, well, I've got a lovely little cat, I've got some nice friends, I've got a nice little bungalow, it's rented, but it's mine. And the next day, I met Fluffy, who took me by the hand, didn't let it go, and I just thought, oh, that's it then. And it was it. And yet I wasn't looking. And I very often feel if you're searching and searching for love, it'll find you when you stand still and open your arms to it and welcome it in.
So true from what I hear from past people who yes. in successful relationships. For those who are queer and potential, well, we're all psychic in one way or another.
Yes.
But some of us come into this lifetime more developed than others, as yourself and myself. And is there any parting? Because we're almost done with the show, but before we get into we're going to get into some tarot reading. Before we get into that, I want to get like maybe a final word from you to those who are thinking of. Practicing Wicca or getting in or who are gay themselves and know that they have a, because I've spoke about it often in the show, being gay people, we naturally, most of us come in very open and aware psychically. And, any advice for people like that?
Well, I feel when you go into psychic matters, you're dealing with a person's soul. You're dealing with their emotions. So if you are a man, open up your feminine side to it, your sensitive, caring side. I look upon it like this. Instead of judging myself for who I am, I'm a practicing Wiccan, a practicing psychic. I can understand where a woman's coming from if she's been on the rocky road to love and has been very hurt by a man. But I can also understand where a man's coming from because I'm a man too. And I would say follow your heart and go with the flow. And don't What is that saying? Don't push the river, let it flow by itself. And as you go into the Wiccan and psychic matters, don't go too deeply involved with it. Learn the basic things first, how to read the cards, how to put protection around you, how to ask your spirit guides for the right words to say, and then always remember to say a big thank you for the help you've been given, and only ask spirits of love and light to help you. When we get into the realms of, is there anybody there? Of course there's somebody out there, good and bad. Well, we don't want unwelcome visitors. We just want people that are full of love that can help us to help other people.
Amen.
You like that?
So we are coming, we're at the tail end of our podcast interview, and before we leave the interview, Ed has graciously agreed to join me for a tarot reading for everyone who's listening for the month and the week. So I will be doing I will be pulling the card for the week, and Ed will be pulling the card for next month for July for everyone out there. And as I probably mentioned or have not mentioned yet, Ed is a psychic and tarot reader and a well-renowned one in England since he was in his 20s, correct?
And yes, I'm only 23 now. Even though I met Fluffy when I was 49, so work that out. Actually, I've got a surprise for you.
I've
chosen two cards for you.
Oh, my.
And you're going to be meeting one young man, just a little, about 3 years younger than yourself, followed by another gentleman who's actually quite wealthy and is a few years older than yourself.
Huh.
And I'm thinking now, I wonder which one you'll choose.
Oh, my God.
The one with the heart or the one with the gold.
Oh.
And I think I know which one. But that's coming up quite soon, and probably towards August time. So that's something to prepare yourself for.
Wow. Well, you know, in August is when the Renaissance Fair starts. The New York...
may seem a bit, little bit on the glum side, though. Have there been any storms or anything around the Bermuda and the Bahamas area, do you know of?
They have, and there's been quite a few storms here. There was just right when we were trying to get together on Skype, there was a thunder and lightning storm here.
Right.
And
I'm looking at July, and basically, it doesn't sound too cheerful, but I'm just thinking July is going to be quite a bit all over the place with really rough weather.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas it could be still and warm, I'm thinking don't necessarily go out to sea if they've given a bit of a warning here, especially around the Bahamas area, and especially for going on for September as well. But I do feel for America at the moment, there's going to be a lot of political things happening there. I've got the sign of the scales here, and a man in authority who may even say, barge in is a funny word to put it, really, that wants to make sure he is the president.
Wow.
And this man will be white.
Oh, wow.
But he won't be young. He won't be that young. He's got a lot of experience. He's very pushy, but he means business when he means business.
Mitt Romney?
So that's something to look out for as we go toward, that's more towards the end of July, though. So that's what I can see for then, anyway, Henry.
Well, that's the time we're in the hurricane season now, always in June, the beginning of summer for the United States, and that sounds very it correlates very well with the storm season for the Bahamas, at least in July.
I didn't know that, you see. Well, that's very interesting, Henry.
And for the week, I have I pulled out Complex Stability, which was which resounds on the number 12. And I pulled that card out for the month, actually, and probably for the week last week. But it's overall for this week, it's going to be good. Everything that happens this week it's going to benefit seven generations or 7 days, the number seven renounce, or actually for the next 9 days, I'm hearing here. Everything that we do and happens this week will benefit us and everyone around us for the next seven to nine cycles. So, a mindful awareness of keeping our thoughts positive, no matter how bad the news may be or how good the news may be. If it's good or if it's bad, we should still remain grounded, but still feel content that whatever is happening this week is for our benefit, it'll be life changing.
Marvelous.
Yeah,
and some very powerful numbers as well.
It is, isn't it?
It is, especially with the number seven.
One of my favorite lucky numbers.
Yes. Well, the seven wonders of the world, the 7 days of the week, the 7 days to create the heavens and the earth. It's all there, isn't it? So it sounds pretty global, doesn't it, from what you've said?
And it should be. And I normally, yeah. These cards work on a universal harmonic frequency, so
yes,
it's a broad spectrum,
right?
And I think that overall, it's I just lost thought.
oh, it doesn't matter. You probably were going back into another previous lifetime. Well, Henry, it's been lovely to be on your show.
Thank you very much for joining me on this week's podcast. And I would love for you to tell the audience how to find you if they require your services. And let us know exactly what do you provide as a counselor. I know that you're a counselor on the psychic and tarot level, but I heard you say that you're assisting someone in past life recall as well.
Yes, I'm a fully qualified hypnotherapist and past life regressionist. I'm a makeover expert, but of course people can contact me by email for advice that way, which is psychic, all lowercase, wizard with two A's in it. So it's psychicwizard@live.co.uk. They can also find us at www.mysticed.weebly.com. There's just one D in Ed, by the way. Some people spell it with two Ds. And you can find us on Facebook by looking up Ed Ward. As simple as that. So there's three alternatives. And then we can always make arrangements. I can do email readings, over the phone readings, Skype readings when it's working properly, and and private one-to-ones, and DVD readings as well, if anybody would be interested. But I do other things. I do worldwide healing sessions as well, and do a lot of counselling as well. So there's quite a few things that we do besides my magical side, because I'm a fully accredited wizard as well. So I've got a few strings to my bow, really, I do believe.
And very
but
gracious.
You can all find me on there if you'd like to make contact at any time. Be great to hear from you.
And your phone numbers are?
And the phone number, it would be the dialing code for England, which I don't know what that is, but it would be 1-543-467276. So it's a dialing code and 1-543 467-276.
Thank you so much for your giving of yourself and Fluffy as well on this podcast and sharing such intimate details also and your thoughts.
Well, you're very welcome, Henry, and we'll do it again sometime.
Yes, we will. And I you know, and I'm very grateful. Thank you.
Okay, Henry. God bless, and God bless you all, America.
Thank you, Mystic Ed and Fluffy, for appearing on the Oral Fix podcast. I spoke to Ed afterwards, and he agreed that he would love to come back on the show. And he has actually something going on in America coming up soon, which will bring him closer to me. And I'm sure I'll be able to meet him face to face soon. And I'm not going to let the cat out of the bag because it's a secret. I could tell you a little bit. He's going to appear on TV, American television, I believe. So everyone, please support him if you feel inclined to seek his services. I'm going to link all the information if you haven't written it down yet. I'm going to link it on the show notes at www.oralfixpodcast.com. Again, that's www.oralfixpodcast.com. If you would like to follow my daily rantings on the blog, you can subscribe via Gmail, Facebook, as well as Twitter. And all you have to do is look for Oral Fix Podcast. On Facebook, a much simpler way to find the podcast would be facebook.com/TheOralFixPodcast. And if you feel inclined to do so, you can donate at the website, which is oralfixpodcast.com. And if you're listening via Stitcher.com, iTunes, SoundCloud, or if you have any comments you'd just like to leave on the show notes, please rate, rank, like, share, tell people that the podcast is here for everyone. Most of all, it's for the gay community and for those who are friends of the gays. And that's about it. If you would like to submit any feedback also, or if you would like to submit any topics or suggestions, please, you can send that in as a voicemail at 646-504-3491. Use the time to your discretion. And also, you know, if you'd like to be anonymous, please say so. And you can also send a mail to Gmail at oralfixpodcast@gmail.com. So everyone, have a great remainder of the Pride Month in NYC, and happy Pride to anyone else out in other states and countries. And I'm going to leave you off with a song by Owl City called Shooting Star. Enjoy. See you next week.
Weigh you down, but not this time. Way up in the air, you're finally free, and you can stay up there, right next to me. All this gravity will try to pull you down, but not this time. When the sun goes down and the lights burn out, then it's time for you to shine. Our hearts, oh, the pouring rain. We'll try to put it out, but not this time. Let your colors burn and brightly burst into a million sparks.
all disperse and illuminate a world that'll try to bring you down, but not this time. When the sun goes down and the lights burn out, then it's time for you to shine brighter than a shooting star. So shine no matter where you are. Fill the darkest night with a brilliant light, 'cause it's time for you to shine brighter than a shooting star. So shine no matter where you are tonight. Whoa, 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 brighter than a shooting star. Shine no matter where you are tonight. A thousand heartbeats beat in time and makes this dark you